right, Stephanie, you're back for item number 15 on cougar seasons, briefing and public hearing.
So I'm here to discuss the recommended changes for Washington Administrative Code 220415100. These are our cougar seasons for the agency. Presently, we have two parts to our season. We have an early season, which begins September 1st and ends December 31st. And we have a late season, which starts January 1st and runs through April 30th. During those seasons, any legal weapon is viable for both seasons. The structure of our seasons, we've divided the state up into 50 population management units, which we refer to as PMUs. These are the hunt areas that we identify for activity and where we set our estimates for quotas. During the season, each PMU has a harvest guideline, which corresponds to 12 to 16% of the cougar population, excluding kittens. Starting January 1, which is the late season, that's the point where we start closing seasons once that hunt quota has been met or exceeded that harvest guideline. Prior to that, during the early season, we do not close the GMU. We only begin closing them starting January 1. During 2015 to the present, we've averaged about 20 PMUs that reached the harvest guideline and closed each year. This year, as of last Friday, we have 23 units that have closed because they've reached the harvest guideline. I won't go into great detail, but our guidelines were basically generated through various research projects that we had running. We had five major projects across the state. We did some more intensive research in the Cascade region and portions of the Northeast and North Cascades area, where we were monitoring movements of animals and looking at social organization. And from those research projects and lots of discussion, the guidelines were set at the current rate. Populations in Washington, our cougar populations, tend to grow at about 14% annually. When we extrapolate the densities and the estimates that we have across the state, we come up with a 2.2 cougars per 100 square kilometers. Again, this is not including kittens. These are adults and subadults. We recognize that the density does vary across the state within, you know, different areas. But these are the density amounts that we manage on and how we extrapolate our harvest quota or our guideline. Our recorded harvest over the last 5 to 6 years, you can see it's got a little bit of a fluctuation, but we did have a slight increase. And again, I would have expected this based on environmental conditions. It's similar to what we saw with bears in that season. So we'll see what happens with this next assessment, and we'll be able to bring those new harvest dates and harvest numbers to you during the April meeting. So at the present time, we're proposing that the Washington Administrative Code 220-415-100 cougar hunting seasons and regulations, the harvest guidelines and hunt areas remain the same as they are. We are proposing to change the season dates to reflect the current time frame, which is 2018-2019 and the 2019-2020 seasons. The rationale for this is to correctly identify the time frame that we're operating under. You may recall in the original recommendations, we did have some other changes which reflected closing the season dates and changing those. We've stricken those at this point. We received quite a bit of input from the public, and coupled with that, we've had a stakeholder group that, while it's a separate issue, it's still somewhat related. We had a stakeholder group that we were working with on the public safety cougar removal rule, and through that process and then working with our enforcement program, then the public feedback that we received on this proposed season date changes, that combination has made us pause for a minute. We recognize that this is something we need to probably address in a collective setting, and so we are proposing to leave the current harvest guidelines in place, and over the next year, especially over the summer, we will be working with the stakeholders that we engaged initially, and there's a broader group of stakeholders that have been identified, as well as our regional staff, to address and look at revisiting our cougar management for population management, for recreational harvest, and for conflict management. So we'll be doing a review of that over the next year. And given that, we wanted to at least allow things to move forward with cougar recreational harvest. So you'll see the 98 comments that opposed the recommended changes. The majority of them were referencing the potential for reducing the season and closing the date March 31st. There were some other suggestions, and they were they varied from allowing night hunting, varied from allowing one season versus an early and a late season. But the majority of those who opposed the proposed recommendations were truly against closing the season early. There were a few that did support it. There were some that did suggest they supported it, but also brought up the idea of increasing quotas. And just again to say that those are the things we'll be looking at when we meet with these stakeholders and we talk about the issues. You know, I believe that Chris and Dave brought some of those points forward, but those are the issues we'll be looking at as well as we go through this process. At this point, I can take any questions and feel free to expand on any points that I've made.
Just to be really clear, the decision about reaching the quota at closing the season is based solely on recreational harvest and does not include the public safety take numbers now?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
We do keep those on our record to just assess it, but the closure is strictly, we do have an additive column that says it was additive, but we really look at what was taken during the harvest.
Hey, thank you, Stephanie.
And you said you were going to be revisiting this?
Yes.
I would really love to be included on that when you get ready to do that.
Okay.
And there again, have a little forewarning. So, you know, I don't know what you're looking at for people that are going to be involved in it, but I hope it's a fairly diverse group. Because there again, our part of the world, we're done hunting in December, damn near every year, and especially if we get any kind of a winter. So, and the guys up in Northeast are the same way. You know, needless to say, out in this part of the world or in the central part of the state, they're not going to. It just, to me, it just, you have to question the numbers that you're using, you know. So, no, I would love to be part of this debate.
Yes, yeah, so just to answer or respond to the diversity of the original stakeholder group, we did have some county commissioners representing the Northeast. We had a nonprofit NGO representation. We had a hunter group. So we did try to diversify that original group. Since then, we've expanded to different types of hunter groups, as well as enforcement, as well as additional NGO and government officials. So I will put your name on the list, and we'll probably be tapping your phone soon to see if you can join us.
Thank you. We have a number of folks that wish to provide public input. So again, I'll call you up, Chris Hedrick and Don DeShell. DeShield, please.
Good Well, this is the last time you get to see me, so. But I'm just here as an observation on our ranch in particular. Last Friday, when we had a brand new snow, we had a large tom, a medium-sized cat, could have been a tom or a female, and probably a smaller female. At the same time, my cousin, who was calving across about 2 miles away, he had a female with two kittens and another medium-sized cat at the same time. So within a small area, like she says, in the pocket area, in our particular area, we had six cats within a five-square mile area that we know that were different cats because of it was a fresh snow. So I question the number of permits that are giving, especially in, we're in Douglas, or yeah, whatever unit that is right north of Colville. I question the number of permits being given, and I also, any other state that manages cats, they usually is all based off a female quota. When a female quota is reached, that's when the season stops. It's very well known that the males have, it's not going to change the population. So I propose that it needs to go to a female quota. And the thing that you're going to find out when that SCAT study comes out from the University of Washington that was done in the Aladdin area on Mill Creek, you're going to find that if you don't already know, you're going to have three times the amount of wolves that you thought you had. You're going to have double the amount of predators. And to me, that is science. That tells you whether those animals are related, what they're feeding on, whether they're with kittens, or if it's a cat or whatever else. So that is accurate information on which you can base your decisions on. Right now, you don't have a lot of information to base that decision on. In our unit, it never goes past the first season in cats. Never has. I mean, it's always reached early. And I just think that, you know, I know it's hard to micromanage different areas, but to a certain degree, that cougars are a very efficient, beautiful animal. They have a huge impact on deer. I mean, and that's just the bottom line. And anything we can do to help reduce the predator deal, because the wolf issue is not going to go away. You guys deal with that every day. Wolf issue is not going to go away. But we can deal with a few of these issues to help reduce them.
Thank you, Chris. Jay.
There again, had the opportunity to get to talk to Chris a little bit. We're both about the same age, have a lot of shared interests. I guess we both were been around since the earth was cooling and got to do a lot of mountain lion hunting with dogs. And I'll tell you, talk about, I've got to hunt in probably about 8-9 states, about 3 or 4 provinces, chased a lot of animals, had a lot of really fun hunts. But a mountain lion hunt is probably right at the top of the whole deal. And getting them up, you know, there again, we can't use hounds, but any way you slice or dice it, mountain lion hunting is a lot of fun, very rewarding when you do it. And to me, it's almost a wasted resource that we should be able to tap into and let other people get to do it.
I think cats are a resource that goes right with wolves. You're in one camp or you're in the other. Because if you look at that picture, that is a majestic animal. That animal, though, is a very efficient, of all the predators that you have out there right now, that is the most efficient predator in the woods. And they're having the biggest impact on your deer populations. So goes, if you have a bigger population of them, so declines your deer population. I mean, I've killed several great big cats over my lifetime. I don't like to shoot cats, just to shoot cats. But I'm at this point where I would do that just to because it's a needed thing in my unit.
Bob McCoy and Don.
Hi, thanks for letting me come up a fourth time. I figured I'd get excommunicated eventually, but Chris is probably your go-to guy on the cats and the hound hunting and the, you know, the things he's seen. The impact for Stevens County, the folks I represent, has more to do with the public safety side of it. The cats, even the ones that are in the quota that are being harvested, are probably getting to be more of those that are coming too close to somebody's house. Now, we have also the ones that come in, do some damage, and then the department takes out. But one of our issues, even with that, is that we have, I'll give you two examples, that one this summer where a cat came in and killed two goats at a place. The gal that had the goats killed called the neighbor because he had some cows down there too and didn't want that to continue. They did call the Fish and Wildlife. They sent a person out and they looked at it and said, "Looks like dogs killed your goats." Well, the neighbor and another guy said, "Man, this looks like the way cats would do it." So in the department's book, that was a dog issue. So the neighbor put up a camera, and within 3 hours, two cats came back to claim their goats. And so then they had to contact the department again and show them the pictures, and made a mistake there. I think they did take the cat out. The issue there is, you know, cats that are a little not very cautious around people. You know, the same person that had the two goats had two grandkids that was what they did, was went out and played with the goats. Another case where a goat got killed. Goats seem to be predator magnets. Goats and sheep. If you want to attract predators, just get you some. Another case, a cougar killed a goat in a little barnyard, and they did identify it as being a cougar kill, but instead of going taking out and going after the cat, the game agent said, "Why don't you lock your goats up in the barn?" Well, okay, you're the professional. So they locked the goats up in the barn, and the next night the cat got in the barn and killed the goats. So it was a lot easier goat hunting when you get them put into a pen. And so that kind of pushed them towards taking out that cat. And when they did tree the cat and take it out, it had a collar on it. So we're pretty sure the department, you know, it went to some trouble and expense and effort to collar a cat that they didn't want to then take out as a public safety issue. So, but to speak of the numbers in an area, I live just north of an area that's not a GMU but does allow cougar hunting, and they've taken out, it's 150,000 acres, and they've taken out almost 20 cats this year, and they do that every year. And it leads us to believe that 121 probably has a quota, a sustainable harvest that's quite a bit above the, I believe, the 8 that's assigned to that.
Is that right? 8?
It's some single-digit number, I'm guessing. So I would prefer if that that quota could be raised and see if that affects anything, and maybe along Chris's suggestion to do the female end of it. Because I think, you know, on the other public safety thing, I get a lot of calls from people that have cats that maybe don't get their goat but do invade their yard, that don't call the Fish and Wildlife because they've had too many times when somebody told them either it's a dog problem or, and if they do, they just don't call them back. So there's probably some, there's no conflict resolution in some of the conflict resolution specialists. So I just encourage an increase in that quota based on those citizen science observations.
Thank you.
I have a question. Yes. For staff, though, I think a commissioner rather than you, because it's been brought up now twice, and that relates to a female quota versus an all-cat quota. There's some science, as we understand, that supports a social structure that with a dominant male. How would a female, or do we have any information about how a female-only quota might impact that? Like those states that have female-only quotas, do they have information? Does it would imply that we're taking out more males, and so risking taking the dominant male, which is what leads to problems.
So the difficulty there is there's a couple factors. Other states allow for different hunting methods than we do, which allows you to then discern a male from a female. So that's one factor.
Right.
The other factor is, and this is actually a subject that came up last year at the Cougar or the Mountain Lion Workshop. All state agencies sent some bios and staff, and we talked about this idea. And right now, actually, we're in the process of revising cougar management, the guidelines for cougar management that come out of the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies. And so this is being revisited. There are some articles that address this topic, but again, I think there are two things that affect us. One is our hunting methods. That's struggle.
Very interesting, yeah.
And then the other piece is also just understanding the densities and the population dynamics within those areas. Clearly, we have a fairly high harvest coming in through the northeast area. They're correct. We do meet our guidelines just about every year, except for maybe one or two of those GMUs, but most of them are met. The structure there, though, I was actually pulling up the numbers just to see how we're doing, and honestly, most of the harvest is our females in some of those GMUs. Mm-hmm. I just was looking at some of the previous data. I don't have it exact. I'd be happy to provide that to the commission. These are the points that we'll be addressing as we go through this process that I was describing earlier. I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you.
And Rachel Voss and Bob.
Hello, I'm Bob McCoy from Sammamish, Washington. I'm also a board member of the Mountain Lion Foundation. When I attend some of these presentations and I see that it's based on science, I see that as Hollywood's based on a true story. Yes, some of the numbers there are in there, but the actual application of the science, I don't see it happening. The original science that was done here in Washington State, where they came up with the 14 plus or minus 2% confidence interval, was based on adult cats only, not juvenile cats, not kittens. It was based on adult cats only. And the social stability, those concepts were based on 1.73 cats per 100 square kilometers, not the 2.2 that we got to by adding in the subadult cats. These are wide-ranging predators. It's absolutely correct to talk about their social structure as early as the 1980s. Biologists were saying it looks like when you kill a tomcat, you start getting problems. In the northeast counties, where we consistently close the unit and we consistently go over in probably five or six of those units, we seem to see more cats, which is exactly what the science says will happen, that probably three young cats will show up to try and claim the territory. The same way in the 8th Congressional District where I live, all kinds of politicians are popping up to take over the seat of Congressman Reichert. So that's to be expected. We also, at the commission meeting several years back, the department presented and showed a slide in which at 15% harvest, they were finding decreasing cat populations. Colorado recently did a study, found the found the exact same outcome. We are over-harvesting our cats in certain areas of the state, and we're getting the problems that the scientists, the biologists tell us we expect to get. We're seeing a cat behind every tree, which is what the biologists told us to expect. Originally, it looked like the rule change was to close the early season on December 15th to try to prevent some of the over-harvest. The science wasn't done on a calendar. It was done on a percentage of population. And we ought to say when we enter the band of 12 to 16%, which is what was studied, that's the time to close that unit down. We were trying to avoid source sink dynamics. So we had this new paradigm, and we really ought to watch it. And just one last point, there's probably three females for every male cat. So in a see and shoot situation, you would expect a higher harvest of female. And I believe that's what the biologists have been showing for the last couple of years also. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. And Rachel, you're the last one for this.
All right. Well, I don't have all the cool numbers like he has, so I am definitely opposed to shortening the season, and I would love, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, I really think that the cougar is very mismanaged in our state. I have spoke to several different biologists, and when they call to speak with the head bio and say, you know, we've got another cougar, don't think it should be closed down, these are juvie cougars, and they're saying close the unit when you've got juvenile cats, that's a problem. That's a problem. And I definitely agree with the females should be what we're targeting as part of the quota. You've got these areas that I think we need to step outside of this little box and look at, like where Commissioner Jay is from, and you've got cougars that are on people's porches, guys. I mean, it's an issue. And so when these units are being closed down with a quota of juvenile cats, and let's face it, I don't know the numbers, and she's saying that some of that they're females. I bet they are females, but I also bet they're probably anywhere from 23 to 25 months old. I have an issue with it. They are totally tearing apart our fawn numbers. Our doe to fawn ratios are down. I wish I could give you some of the numbers on some of our studies that we've done. I don't have them with me, but it's a bad deal. We've got some really high density areas here in the state, and I would love to see it managed a little differently. And if there is an advisory, I'd love to be a part of it. I am with a nonprofit, and I would very much love to be a part of something like that. So that's kind of my two cents. I don't have all the numbers like he had, but just my opinion on cougar in general in the state. So thanks, guys.
Thank you, Rachel.